Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And speaking of moving forward, and this is very exciting today, because today we are going to be talking about Cadence shoes. They're adaptive shoes. And what's exciting about the shoes is that we have the founder, the inventor, the creator of the shoes, Dr. Tyler Susko, to talk with us. So Tyler, thank you and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for Jennifer for having me on. I appreciate
Absolutely.
So how does one decide, or how did you come about this idea to do the shoes?
Oh, well, that's a good question, Jennifer. So I guess I'll start with my background here. I did my PhD at MIT, and I started in 2010, ending in 2015. At the time, I was researching rehabilitation robotics there, specifically robots that would interface with humans to provide physical therapy. And that was the focus of my PhD. And at the time, I was interested in gait therapy. And at the time, a lot of people were coming up with different methods to apply robots in this type of a field. Gait therapy, depending on what you're doing with a physical therapist, could involve using a body weight support and a treadmill, and the therapist aiding the legs moving forward as people were progressing. And that was specifically for stroke or other neuro injuries. I developed this robot that was able to remove the floor underneath a single foot as you were progressing your gait. So as when I talk about gait, there's two distinct phases. There's stance phase when the foot is on the ground, and then there's swing phase when the foot is moving forward to that next step. During the swing phase is when a lot of people with stroke or cerebral palsy, the population I was working on with at the time, they have difficulty with the swing and getting that foot back forward. And this is common with a lot of people with MS as well. So this machine specifically would remove the floor during the swing phase of gait. And among other things and other rehabilitation metrics that we were collecting at the time, it made it a lot easier for people to walk, to not have to worry about hitting the floor when they were advancing that foot forward. And one of the people in the study said to me, "Man, it would be great if you could take that feeling outside the lab. I don't have to worry about tripping and falling when I'm on your device." And I said, "Well, maybe we can try that." So in 2015, when I finished up at MIT, I took a job at UC Santa Barbara. And it just so happened that that participant in our study was moving to Santa Barbara as well. So I said, "Hey, you want to work together and we'll try to figure this out?" And she said, "Sure." So I worked with groups of students every year to try to figure out how do we take that, it was called the Skywalker machine. How do we take the Skywalker and turn it into something that people can use every day and outside of the lab? And the first set of shoes was robotic, and there's a lot of problems with that. It's heavy. There's complicated motors, software that could glitch, things like that. So we got away from the robotic shoe and we started to get into something that I call more passive, which is a shoe that doesn't employ any type of electronics or motors. And it was about 30 iterations later, 30 to 40, we got to what you see now in the Cadence shoe. And it's what it is it's replicating the feeling of not having that floor in the way when you're in the swing phase of walking, by employing a low friction surface that allows the foot to glide and slide over the ground. And then when you apply weight to it, it gives you back your traction, because the slides that are on the shoes themselves will retract up into the shoe when you put weight on it. So when you do that, you get the high traction of a rubber surface, a rubber tread that's in between the two sliding glides. So really this was an attempt to replicate what we were doing with the robot in a way that was accessible to people, and in a way that we could take it outside of the laboratory and have people just walk every day outside. So in between, the robot and going commercial, there was a study at UCSB, and we had a couple people with multiple sclerosis in that study, and people were showing that with this variable friction, that's what we call it, variable friction device underneath their foot, they were able to walk faster in our lab. And then we also tried to figure out why that was, and we looked at the way that they were moving with a six camera setup with markers all over their legs. And we found that people weren't using their compensatory strategies, like, for example, circumduction of the hip or hip hiking to get their foot forward. They could just take a more normal step forward. Yeah. So that's the background and how this came to be.
and that's huge. And then it's like, at what point, I mean, because you're talking about all the research that you did and all the different samples, at what point are you like, I think we can take this commercial, or to where you're just like, because there's a huge difference between doing it in the lab and not only then putting a commercial, but I mean that you're like saying, hey, we need to mass produce shoes for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we did that first little study, this was 2018, 2019 when we did it, and we only had five people. You know, doing these studies takes a long time because you have to get ethics board approval from the local hospital to get human subjects into testing. That's with any type of human subject testing. So we got five people from our local hospital. We had a physical therapist come on campus here at UCSB, and we ran these people through. At this time, we didn't know what we were doing. So we had bodyweight support harnesses just in case somebody were to fall, and the therapist following with a gait belt and all kind of stuff like that. And, you know, it was at the end of that study where we actually wrote the paper and we said, hey, look, we got an increase in speed and here's why. What do we think that this is doing for people? And people were telling us, specifically one person with MS said to us, I have a video of her. It was really cute. She's just like, oh my God, I can involve my knee again and I don't have to worry about it. And so it was clear that it was doing something that was different. And then we said to ourselves, okay, this sounds interesting. And there was a funding mechanism through UC Santa Barbara from the California Neuroscience Institute that is meant to take things that are in the lab that might be a good fit in the real world and converting it. So we got a $50,000 grant, which allowed us to take, we were just drilling holes in the shoes the first study. And that grant allowed us to find people in the footwear space that could advise us and help us actually create our own sneaker. And then it also paid for us to create one size of a shoe with an actual factory. And then we got 26 pairs from that. And based on that, we did an internal beta study, now taking these shoes and putting them on people outside in the world. Then that looks pretty good. And then it was time to go ahead and tool up and make all these different sizes. Footwear is difficult, right? Because you can't just make one size.
Well, because then you're talking like people with wide shoes, people or wide feet, and just all the different everything, and where's their gait? Are they pronating? And wow.
Exactly. Yeah, it becomes really challenging, and you know, just the size thing. So, you know, we've recently expanded our size; we doubled. But initially, people didn't understand, why do you only have so many sizes? And it doesn't look like we have many, but we started with 20.
Wow.
And 20 was just the top of the bell curve, because like you said, you got the regulars, then you got the wides. So it became six sizes in men's, six sizes in women's, and then, you know, four sizes in each with wide. It's a lot to keep track
of. And then never mind that you have fashion in women and men. We want different colors. And so that was when you went into this, did you think, oh, I never realized that this would be such, I mean, it's huge, the market for shoes.
Well, I think
it is.
Well, and I think that's what's so nice about these shoes. You know, when we say, you know, quote unquote, adaptive shoes, these do not look like adaptive shoes. I mean, they look like regular shoes. And I guess that was the question for me then, is just with the way everything is, that you have like a Velcro attack, you know, you don't have to like tie the shoe. Was that part of the plan when you're talking adaptive shoes, that you're just like, hey, we need to make, because that's the thing. The Velcro looks like laces. That's genius.
Yes. And so that's a really good point, Dan. We as we were going through this process and getting this beta test stuff, We also enrolled in this other program called the National Science Foundation iCorps program. This program is meant to give you a little bit of, it's like a product market fit boot camp for scientists. So scientists come up with these ideas and, okay, figure out if they actually work with the market. So as part of that program, every week you get effectively homework where you talk to people that would be either potential customers or stakeholders, physical therapists, people that kind of know this space. And so as part of that program, we probably talked to somewhere around 30 to 50 people, either with all different types of gait-related disabilities and physical therapists. And we would ask things like, you know, what do you currently use? And, you know, in your footwear, what do you want? You know, and not really talking about the product too much, just trying to understand people. And what we found out universally is that fashion was very important to everybody. They specifically did not want us to make a shoe that looked like a medical device. And so it was very clear that we got to make a really good looking shoe. So at the start of it, we said, okay, we got to find somebody that can make a really good looking shoe. Because I'm a mechanical engineer, not a fashion. I'm probably the worst person on the planet with making things look pretty. But we found somebody who was probably one of the best people on the planet at making things look pretty. And so he was a shoe designer that worked at other major brands, and he was very well known in the shoe world. We're lucky that we live in Santa Barbara. There's a company that's right next door to the university called Deckers. They make Hoka, UGG, own a lot of those types of brands. So there's a lot of footwear know-how here. So through our connections there, we found just a really talented designer that designed up a first version that I was beta testing. And then after we found out what people liked and didn't like there, we made the next one. One of the things in the beta test that we had, we only had one size in gray. That was it. And you know, for women that were in the test, they said, you got to make this look cute. That was what they said. And we said, all right, well, so the next version, we had multiple shoe designers make it really cute with the colors. So they made all these colors, and we put it in front of people and said, what do you like? And so we spent a lot of time. It probably delayed the launch of the product by 6 to 9 months trying to get the colors right, because you get samples back. They're not that good. The colors are off. It looks, the pink looks too bubblegum or something. And you know, it's not me assessing that because I'd be bad at it, but it's, it's others. So anyway, that was the journey of how to get something that looked nice, because we knew that we can make something as functional as possible, but if it's going to make you look like the Terminator or something, no one can wear it.
And if we feel uncomfortable or self-conscious in shoes that are obviously meant, you know what I'm saying? Where?
Yes, 100%. We did this project 1 year. So I run the Capstone program at UC Santa Barbara. And it's like a senior design project. I have 100 students every year, and I find projects for them to do. And 1 year I had a child that had a certain type of disability, and we decided that we're going to build him this robotic arm because he was missing a limb. And the students spent 3 months designing a prototype and gave it to him. He just wouldn't put it on. Like, this, I'm never going to wear that. So it's so clear, you know, everybody wants to look nice. Everybody wants to, you know, look cool, blend in with the crowd. And generally, as cool as I think robots are, not everybody does.
So then, I mean, we're talking about, this was 2015 that everything was there. I mean, and here you are, like, we're in 2024. Did you ever think back in 2015 when this happened that 9 years from now, you would, I'm not saying talking with Dan and Jennifer Digman on a couple takes on MS, but I mean, just to where you're at this point where you've had that kind of success. To be to that point where you've developed this and it's in market and people, I don't want to say shoes are flying off the shelves, but I mean, it's just, this is very needed in within this, this population.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And certainly in 2015, I never, I certainly wouldn't have thought I'd ever really get into shoes. At that point, I was just all robots. But I think I kind of saw this vision coming a long time ago, like high school age.
Wow.
It's as weird as that sounds. I had an experience with, in high school, I had an experience, I was about 16. And I went to a high school that had us go out 3 days a year. You had to go and do a service trip. And one for some, usually they were to assisted living communities, but for some reason, 1 year, they randomly sent me to a school that was primarily for children with pretty severe motor disabilities. And that day was really striking for me at 16. And I just wanted to kind of help. And, you know, that stuck in the back of my head. And then I went to school for an undergrad studying engineering and in business at the time. So I always thought I wanted to do something with engineering business. And then when I got to go to grad school, I had worked for a couple of years in industry and designing power tools and golf cart parts, all kind of stuff like that as an engineer. And when I went back to grad school, I was considering different schools and looking at, different projects that were being done. And this lab popped up at MIT that was doing rehab robotics. And it kind of brought me full circle back to being a 16-year-old kid, be like, hey, wait a second, I'm pretty good at designing stuff. It's kind of what I do. And I know there's this need out there. And it maps really well with what I do, which is understanding how to build devices, but also understanding motion and how people move. So maybe I'll get involved with that. And while I was there developing a new thing, I always thought I'd love to develop something that could actually be used in the world. In academia, a lot of times what we do is focus on papers and putting papers out, which help and of course inspire solutions. But it's always fascinated me more to have something out in the world. You kind of make sure your product and put it out. It's like a baby that gets out into the world. You want to see it go. So I think, I don't know, like now we're getting kind of philosophical, but that's kind of been the driving force behind all of it is like, I've got this skill set. I'm good at this thing. And I know I can help this group of people. So we can put it together, and this is kind of the culmination of everything.
And isn't it wonderful that the disabled community is benefiting from your knowledge and your, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And it just feels like, you know, I feel like this, the course of study that I've taken and the course of my life has kind of led me directly to Cadence and everything. It's funny how things, it's like serendipity. Mm-hmm. It all kind of leads the path that you're supposed to go down. And this kind of Cadence journey has been so fun. We start from, you know, coming up with ideas and just having people to work with. I work with another professor at UCSB. I remember calling him when we were just 1 year out of being a robot shoe, and he was joining from Stanford, and he was a soft robot, soft material guy. And I told him, hey, why don't we come up with a shoe, or do you have any ideas with it? And then he ended up joining our faculty, and he and I have been running pilot studies and getting grants together. And so that's been really great. And then just as luck would have it, I met a guy who was really good with startups. And he kind of, I told him about this idea, and we had about a month left before the patent. The way that patents work, you file provisional, you can file PCT after that, which holds the provisional application open longer. And we had about a month until it was going to die. I had no money to actually go for a non-provisional patent. And I met him at a networking event, and I told him about the shoe and just in passing. And, you know, I said, I have this really great shoe. I think it can help a lot of people. But I've got about a month until we're unable to patent it anymore. And if you can't patent something, it's hard to get investment behind it, because then once you show that it works, then everybody's just going to knock you off.
Yeah.
And then you have no business. So we had about a month left, and I met him, and he said, he emailed me the next day. He said, "Can we talk?" And I said, "Sure." We ended up talking for 3 or 4 hours, and then he's like, "Okay." Next day, he emails me. He says, "I'm in. I'll help fund it. Let's pay for the patents. Let's form a business, and let's go." So
Nice.
that was kind of the jump off, and that was in 2021, end of 2021.
Wow.
And then, we got started with this beta test, and that was when I was cutting holes in shoes at that point, and I had one 3D printed slides on the front of a shoe that were drilled in with a screw into the bottom of a shoe at that point. And so he kind of joined up. We did the beta test, and then a couple of years later, we found this really great guy named Johannes, who was our CEO, because I understand a little bit about the business stuff, but certainly running it, e-commerce, and making a really great website like you see our website, that was all Johannes. So we have this kind of like killer team, and then all the other people that advise us in Santa Barbara with footwear. It's been just really an awesome journey.
That's wonderful. And again, I know in the MS community we benefit from your knowledge. And I myself, I have multiple sclerosis, as we say in the show's opening, and I rule. I no longer walk, but Dan is still walking, and I think that these shoes, knock wood, are going to really benefit him.
I do I well and I hope so. I think it's just, because my problem is that, when they talk like foot drop in MS, I don't know if I necessarily have foot drop per se. I think it's just more I'm left side weak, so I don't have a lot of pickup on my left side. And but at one point in time I used to run, and I always had to get new shoes. My right foot shoe would always look perfect, but there on my left foot, the toe would almost be worn
Wear
through
on the
because I
toes.
would slide my feet. And every time I'd run, last words from Jennifer would be like, "Pick up your feet." And so that's so really, I mean, this is when I was seeing things about these shoes online, I'm thinking this so could be helpful, because really, I guess my fear then is like, when you're walking, I'm thinking, gosh, would I slide like ice? But to your point, when you put pressure, the pucks don't work. Is that how that is?
That's right. Yeah, you push them. It's kind of like so on the sole of the shoe, there's two different foams. There's a foam that's like any other standard foam on the bottom of a shoe, that you would find in like a Hoka or a Nike. But then there's also a very soft foam that's underneath the puck area. So that very soft foam that's inserted in there will compress when you push on it. So as you push on it with your weight, you put your weight on it, the puck actually collapses up into the shoe, and then you get the high friction stuff.
Nice.
Okay. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask three questions for my brethren in the MS community. And they will be, Tyler, they will be rapid fire questions.
Okay, got
Okay.
it.
One, can these shoes be worn with AFOs, ankle foot orthotics?
If as long as you wear the same size of shoe with them. So with the big or ankle foot orthoses that are molded out of plastic, generally they're too wide, or the hinged ones, they're too wide to fit a regular or a standard wide size shoe. Those will not fit in the shoe. However, if you have one of the carbon fiber ones that insert into the shoe, either on the side or the back, and they're very low profile, and you can fit a normal size shoe, either regular or wide, then they will work with it,
Okay,
yes.
and if per chance someone orders the shoe and it does not work with there is a return policy, I would imagine. Okay.
Yes, we have a 30-day return policy. So all you have to do is return them. Before that, we do ask people to try them on surfaces that are going to not destroy the
Right.
shoes, so that we could restock them,
Okay.
and to make sure that they work for people before they send them back. But it's 30 days. You have to try them, and then you can send them back if you like.
Okay, and then I also was wondering, I know a number of us, myself included, when I was still walking, I like to really have my shoes quite tight and to tie them. Is there a way to, I mean, how do they fasten these shoes?
Yeah, so the only tightening mechanism on these shoes is the strap at the top. The bottom part is elastic webbing. So the elastic webbing is meant to hold onto your feet. If you wanted to really strap them down, you wouldn't be able to in this version of the shoes, the current version,
Okay,
yeah.
and is that something? I mean, it sounds certainly like it's worth trying, and just you're talking.
Yes.
Is this something, are you continuing to modify? Will there be, now I'm being greedy, will there be other?
There's absolutely we're looking for all kind of modifications. And in fact, I have a lot. We have I just wrote out this list last night, so I know we have about 13 different products going.
Congratulations.
A lot of them are going to be modifications to the shoe to make it more adaptable for people. So for example, I haven't told anybody this yet, but we're working on we're calling it, I don't even know, it doesn't have a name yet, but we're working on a traction pad, traction pads that will be like adhesive stick-ons that will go onto the pucks for somebody that wants only unilateral low friction. So we've heard that from the community. So anybody, anything, anytime someone tells us something, we try to
Okay.
respond. So we've had people that have more unilateral. Sounds like Dan has more unilateral disability on one side, and maybe he would like it if one shoe didn't have variable friction and the other did. Well, we'll have these adhesive backed traction pads that go on the unaffected or less affected side, in case somebody wants that. We also, I'm in development for a. I'm calling it, I don't know the names for these things yet, but we're calling it internally an acute plate that will go on the tip of the shoe too for people that have really bad toe drag.
Okay.
So people that have almost the inability to it just more like a flaccid ankle. For those people that won't necessarily be able to really push off, we can extend the low friction up the front of the shoe. So there'll be those types of modifications. And then in terms of the lacing, as you're mentioning, we're looking into solutions that are going to make this modifiable to somebody that really wants to snug up the instep. And we have a whole bunch of other things that we're working on
Okay, and
too.
then my third and final, and you've said you have a bunch of things. I'm seeing a lot from the community that are curious about maybe a high top or a higher on the ankle. Is that something you've thought about or something that is has potential to be?
Yeah, so when you talk about a high top, are we talking about it for ankle stability or for
Yes, for
looks?
ankle stability.
Ankle stability. So there is something that we're working on in that regard as well. So we do have something that's in the works there
That is
too. Yeah.
fantastic. Congratulations. I mean, you're
Yeah.
really meeting the needs. You're meeting the MS community. And these shoes, again, I don't want to be greedy. These shoes are usable by stroke people who've had strokes, by the cerebral palsy community. I imagine other forms of disability than just MS, which is silly to say.
That's true. But you know, MS has been one of our most engaged communities. I think because MS is, people are used to dealing with it. The difference with a stroke is that stroke hits real quick. And so people aren't really looking at it. I don't think there's as much resources as there are out there as they are for MS and the community behind MS, like such as your podcast. I'm sure that a lot of listeners, are thinking about these things for an extended period of time. So the MS community has been really great to work with because they're searching for solutions. They know what's out there. They know the state of how they move, and they understand what this type of technology could do for them. So it's been really quite cool to work with the MS community.
Dan and I always joke when we're by Central Michigan University, and when we work with the physical therapy, doctor of physical therapy students, we often joke that the MS patients will be their favorite. And it sounds to me like, not that we're putting you on the spot to say that, but I get a little indication of that.
It's definitely true. I just think it's a very engaged community.
Yay. Yay for us.
So then let me ask this. I mean, as you know, you're talking mechanical engineering and everything that you're doing, At what point, for you professionally, personally, do you feel like you've made it with these shoes and the research you've done? And I don't want to say, is this your long term? Because you've tapped into a huge market, and there's so many different things and so many opportunities and in future for this. Are you done? But obviously because you're going to keep going. It's like that you've hit this. Like, my gosh, that is so incredible.
Well, Dan, that's really nice of you to say. But I would say we're kind of just at the beginning. I feel like it's always felt like we're just kind of at the beginning. My wife had joked with me. You know, we were talking about this last night. You know, she's been on a long ride. we met when we were 25, and I was an engineer. She was a teacher. And within like 3 months, we decided, I told her, I got into all these schools. I'm going to leave and go. She said, oh, I'll go with you. We lived in dorms. We had our first baby. We were in a dorm room. It's just been this constant flow of work that kind of defines us. So I really think that this is just the very, very beginning. My intentions are, and my team's intentions at Cadence, is to build this into something that's going to be like the number one place that people are going to look. We'll keep doing the research. We're going to keep innovating and coming up with new products. We're going to keep listening to the community. We're going to keep outreach. And we want to be the one-stop shop for all this. So no, I would say this is just the beginning.
That's fantastic.
We will have everything on our website, coupletakesonms.com, that'll have like links and in the liner notes for this podcast, like for Cadence Shoes, where you can get them and more information about Tyler Susco and just everything. This is like so incredibly exciting. I guess I have really, and these are, I don't want to say softball questions, but just very curious. Why Cadence?
The name? This is a funny story. It's a quick one. My son, we got this grant I told you about, the $50,000 grant to change the shoes we were cutting into holes into something that was better. And the shoe designer, person that was making it look pretty, said to me, I need a logo to put on this before we can send it to the factory. And I had my 7-year-old son next to me. I said, John, his name's John. John, what should I call this shoe company? And he said, well, what's it for? And I said, well, it's for people that have, at the time, stroke, so brain injury. And he's just like, we'll call it Brainy Shoes. And so I was like, okay. So we called it Brainy Shoes, and we called it the Cadence Shoe by Brainy. And that was it. But then when Johannes joined, he's like, Brainy Labs is what we called it. Doesn't sound very good. Why don't we call it Cadence? I like that better. So we said, okay, we kind of went with that. But Cadence itself came from one of the first people that was like, I really like walking on this, but I want you to take it. I want to take it outside the lab. Her name was Aiden. So Kate, her name was in the name of Cadence.
Oh,
so we just went with that. So it was like a play on words. And in fact, I didn't come up with that name to begin with. It was students that initially came up with that name. A long time ago, while they were like, oh, we'll just call it the Cadence Shoe. And I said, okay,
cool. Wow.
Very nice.
Oh, thanks for that story. I think the other thing too, it's just like, you know, when businesses, you open a new business and you either frame your first dollar, or you frame your first receipt or something. I don't need to know names, but do you know the name of the first person that ever had the opportunity to purchase a pair of Cadence Shoes commercially? Not just within the research lab.
Commercially. Oh man. I don't, because we're on e-commerce. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be different if we had a store or brick and mortar. But first person to purchase commercially, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We had our beta testers, and I can tell you the first person that tried every version.
Nice.
And I know all the people that worked with me but they weren't the first people to buy the commercial shoe.
But I just think that's so incredible. I mean, just congratulations on all of the success. I mean, and going, like you say, you're just getting started.
Yeah. Wow. This
is... Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us about Cadence Shoes and just giving us your story. This is very exciting, and I'm excited to see how these shoes are going to help Dan and help others in our community. So thank you.
Well, thank both of you for taking the time
absolutely.
To talk to me.
Absolutely, and we will have more information in the liner notes for this, for how you can order your pairs of Cadence Shoes and know more about Tyler's story. Will be there, as well as on our website is acoupletakesonms.com. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS, and thank you so much again for joining us. I am Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And together, we're moving forward. Take care.